Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about Sabbath and rest with DCE Becca Freed.
We're continuing to talk about the post-gathering studies that we had that focus on the 40 end goals. And these 40 teaching goals are statements we pray teens will know and personalize by the time they graduate from high school. And they aren't the whole of scripture or of Lutheran theology, but they are critical pieces for us understanding our baptismal faith. So today we're going to dive into one part of those end goals around identity by talking about Sabbath and rest.
We've all studied the third commandment in confirmation class and beyond, but it can be hard for us and certainly for teens to live it out in our lives. There's so many things today that demand our attention and our time. I mean, students have homework and sports and extracurricular activities and so much more. And in our 2020 youth poll, 29% of youth said that they do not have enough time to get things done already in high school. It can be hard for youth to identify how to bring godly rest and Sabbath into their lives.
So to help us break this down and how we might teach it with our youth, we have DCE Becca Freed. Becca is a Kansas-grown girl who now lives in the cornfields of Nebraska. She currently serves at Concordia University, Nebraska as the director in the Student Life Office and loves to help youth and young adults know how much Jesus loves them. She is the director of Christian Education and has a master's degree in discipleship in the context of trauma and crisis response. She enjoys kayaking, conversations about things that matter, fresh baked cookies, traveling, fuzzy blankets on a cold winter day. I mean, who doesn't? Hugs from her nieces, hiking, and celebrating everyday blessings in life. Becca, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Well, we got to hear about you briefly in the intro, but tell us something more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and other things that bring you joy.
Yeah, right now I get to work a lot with young adults in college ministry here at Concordia and in some other opportunities where I get to serve young adults, but I also do get to still serve in some youth ministry roles, either speaking at some different youth gatherings or volunteering in my local church. So those are sort of some places that I get to still be around high school and middle school youth on a weekly basis. And so I enjoy that.
One of the things we love to hear from youth ministry leaders is about their junior and senior high school years. Can you share for us how Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to keep you or bring you close to him or the church?
There are a lot of different aspects I could talk about here. My parents, my local church, my involvement in even some district youth leadership programs. But the one that really kind of is coming to the surface is summer camp. And a key element that kind of set the stage for my adult life is the way at camp, both as a camper and working at camps, setting aside time to spend alone with God. So that was a practice that was a part of camp. I wasn't thinking this initially, but Juliana was actually my camp counselor for 1 year. So, and then kind of working together in that. But that time set apart with God was really pivotal in the fact that that was really the first summer. It was kind of just this thing I did at camp, right? We had a set aside time for it. And then I kind of went back to my daily life and didn't really stick. But I think after I did that for a couple summers and then was working there, even in high school some, that really was this kind of foundational piece when I look back to have that time where I was kind of taught how to and given space to connect with God on my own, not just as part of my church, like, but with other people doing it at the same time. That was really pivotal as I look back.
Yeah, I think camp is pivotal for a lot of young people and for people who get to be on staff there as well. So such an important time. So you've been doing being in D.C. for a while now. You get to work mostly with young adults, but I love that you just get to work in teens as well. What do you love about working with young people in your congregation, in your community, and maybe even where you work there at Concordia?
There's just something kind of beautiful about being able to share truths that I've learned about the gospel with young people in the hope that maybe they can learn some of those lessons a little sooner than I did. or just even as I'm learning them, or even what I learned in high school or middle school. And with the parent piece too, of just reminding them what an important role they have in that, I think is just so, so important, because they're doing the dailiness of parenting teens, which is just so hard. Parenting in general is just so hard. And so I think coming alongside them and encouraging them in that role as they support their teens, reminding them that they are one of, if not the most important influence in their child's life, even on the days when it doesn't feel like it. And so I think just ultimately both the youth and the young adults, all of us as humans, it's so important just to know that we're not alone, that they have people in their corner, ultimately so that they realize that Jesus is in their corner, right? That our physical presence there is helpful for them just to know that they're not alone. There's just something beautiful about being able to share truths that I've learned about Jesus, about the gospel with young people, maybe in the hope that they can learn some of those things sooner in their life than I did. And having people show up and pour into my life was so important in probably for everyone's lives. And so I just want them to know that they have people in their corner. And on the parent side of things too, just being a parent is hard. Being a parent of teens is hard. And to come alongside them and encourage them and remind them that they do still have an important role, if not the most important role in their child's life for a lot of things, but especially with faith, I really enjoy being able to come alongside them in that and ultimately help them know that through their presence in their kids' lives, through my presence in their lives, that Jesus is with them. Mm-hmm. And that is just a really powerful thing for all humans. So whether it's the youth, the parents, the college students I get to work with, or the three of us, right? Just having people show up matters. And so I enjoy getting to be one of those people occasionally.
That's great. We want to dig a little bit into the study that you wrote for Youth eSource called Rest for the Weary. It's a look at Sabbath and identity. Man, what an important topic at any time for a young person or for any person who's living in this world, like you said, following Jesus and hearing to his words for us and having opportunities to rest, as well as we were probably found sometimes maybe there was more opportunities to rest in the pandemic at times. But then there's also this conversation, what's the new normal look like? And would we go back to old patterns? And what does that look like for time management? And just again, finding that time to rest, to be in the presence of God, and then also to just rest us physically and spiritually and mentally and have that time too. So, why, as you focus on this topic, why is it so important for young people or the people you work with or what you've learned in your time working with them?
I think, first of all, it seems like we're all longing for it. Mm-hmm. We live in such a go, go, go culture, kind of like you just described, and our hearts kind of desire to slow down and connect with each other and connect with God, but it feels like that's impossible in our world, in our churches even. Maybe even sometimes feel like God is the one who's expecting that of maybe of us, of just like, we got to do more for him, or we got to serve well. And so I love sharing kind of this message, you know, a message that kind of counters that go, go, go culture, a message that helps us kind of see more of who God is and his heart for having space to rest and connect with him and others. Also, the more that I talk about this, I think it's the main spiritual practice that actually helps us practice the gospel truth that it's not about our works. Mm. It's not about what we do. And I'm still, this is kind of a new thought for me, so I'm still trying to articulate it, but I've been studying the book of Galatians a lot as part of a Bible study I'm in at my church. And the concept of grace and freedom is just so powerful, verse after verse in that letter. And Paul just kind of reminds over and over and over that our actions get us nowhere. Our self-righteousness is worth nothing. And Sabbath is a place where we actually practice that, where we say, I'm going to not try and control everything in the world and trust God in that, that it really is an act of trust to rest, to believe that there is a God and I'm not him. That, and so I just think it's an important concept that we long for, but also that really puts the gospel into practice for us. Also, God commanded it. Mm-hmm. He invites us into it and commanded it, mm-hmm. as you talked about before. And so I think it's one of these things. I wonder if it's maybe the least talked about commandment. And it's the one that we probably like want the most and in one sense feels like it should be the easiest, but given the context of our world, sometimes it's one of the hardest to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you can see Sabbath and rest all over a scripture. So then what text did you pick to highlight for this Bible study?
You're right. It is all over scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It's everywhere, both before the fall, after the fall. It's in everything. And so it was kind of hard to pick a few, but kind of the first session, I really highlighted some of those, kind of that breadth, both the Old and the New Testament. Genesis, where we hear about God resting on the seventh day of creation, and a place in Jeremiah where God kind of invites a group of people into rest, but they say, nah, we'll go a different way. And then Matthew 11, where we hear this call straight from Jesus himself to come away with him and his promise that he would give rest. And so that's really kind of highlighting this big picture of rest. In the second week, it kind of really gets into the concept of Sabbath, that like as a day, but also as a practice and a mindset. And so we look at the two places in scripture and where we see in the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath and the similarities and differences actually between those, and as well as two stories in the gospel where Jesus kind of gets in trouble with the religious leaders for what he was doing or not doing on the Sabbath. And Isaiah 58 has some cool context about that conversation as well. So that's really kind of looking more specifically at the verses about Sabbath. The third week kind of is more of like a practical, where do we see this playing out maybe in someone's life? And so we look at Elijah's story in 1 Kings 18 and 19. And then the last week, we go back to the Gospels in Mark 6, where Jesus invites his disciples away to go, let's go away to this secret place so we can rest a while. We don't even have time to eat. But then it gets interrupted by people's needs. And so it's a good basis for understanding kind of grace in the midst of this call for Sabbath and rest, that there will be things that interrupt it and how it stays a priority. And yet we can sometimes, God maybe calls us to give up a little of that rest for the healing and freedom and rest of others, that it's a community thing. It's not an individual thing, that we are called into rest. That almost every time in scripture that it talks about Sabbath, it's a community that is participating, not necessarily individual people. And so I think that's how I sometimes wrestle through, where sometimes I may be called to not just do whatever I want to rest. And I think especially in families that plays out, right? That every Sabbath, if we have a Sabbath day, may not look like the way I would want to rest, mm-hmm. but maybe it's a way that I can invite friends or family into that and serve them. So those are kind of the scriptures that I landed on as you go through those four different weeks.
Well, the study in those scriptures certainly help us open God's word and dive deep into that and have those conversations and to self-reflect too on our own lives and what God has called us to. You also mentioned earlier that third commandment and Sabbath might be one of those things that are hard to talk about that we might try to stay away from at times, or because it might bring up some again self-reflection to look at our own lives, and as well as too, as you said, in our sinful condition, that we can abuse God's gifts that he often gives us. And we see that Sabbath is a gift from God. Maybe what are some ways you see teens that they might see it more as a burden rather than a gift, that is the Sabbath, or they call the rest?
Yeah. Depending on kind of maybe how it's talked about or practiced, it's easy for it to feel like a burden to any of us. We see it in scripture too, the way that people, religious leaders, were seeing it as a burden or putting it as a burden on others. For teens, it might feel limiting in what they can do. For example, mm-hmm. if a family sets up an expectation of we're going to attend worship or we're going to spend time together on the Sabbath, maybe it limits what they can do with their friends or sporting activities. And like I said, often in the Bible, it became a burden when the focus became a list of rules about like what we can't do. And that's the biggest thing I see as a difference in when Jesus is interacting with those religious leaders. the religious leaders really did focus on the things they couldn't do, where he focused on what the day is for. Mm-hmm. And so it is for rest, it is for healing, it is for life, it is for freedom. And so that burden kind of gets released when we shift our focus on the life-giving elements of that, that we can fill that time with. But I think it's, yeah, I think it's a really a real thing that it could feel like one more spiritual practice, one more thing I'm not doing right, one more thing that's telling me what I can or can't do with my time or my money or whatever. Like, I think that that's a very real thing. And it's important to have the context of the bigger picture context of what is this day for actually helps alleviate some of that burden, mm-hmm. in my experience. Because when I talk about this with teens, one of the questions that I first like to ask is just, what do you think of when you think of the word Sabbath? What comes to mind? And some of them, it's the commandment or something like that. But a lot of them, it is either all the things they can't do, mm-hmm. or it's we go to church. That's all Sabbath is. And so when you paint this bigger picture of what it is, I think it helps have some conversations at least around the places where it might feel burdensome, even if it still does.
Yeah, I think it's helpful to think of it holistically, but I also think, you know, you mentioned it earlier, there's a lot of things in our culture right now that really rub up against this commandment, that really say, hey, rest is selfish, or maybe isn't supposed to, like, there's so much more that you could be doing with that time. Go, you gotta get ahead. What kinds of things do you think might make rest hard for teens right now, especially?
Well, exactly what you just described is one of them, right? That it's not our culture. There are so many expectations piled onto our teens, whether it's from academics, athletics, parents, other church leaders, adults in their lives, themselves. Their schedules are just packed so full. And kind of we've set up this culture that makes it feel impossible to both rest and succeed. If you rest, you're not going to reach your goals. And that's the message that they're hearing. And so that for sure makes it hard. I think it's also probably not modeled super well by us adults for them. That we feed into that by our own. I mean, how many times do you start a conversation with another adult? How are you today? Oh, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. Right? That's mm-hmm. our default thing. And I think also for teens especially, it's kind of scary to rest, to stop, to slow down, especially at first when they would maybe first try to do this, because we're so used to the noise and the activity filling our lives that when we get in moments of stillness or rest, anxiety and those hard things creep to the surface, and it feels easier to just say, I'm just going to stay busy. I'm not going to deal with that. It's just too hard. It's just too much. And I think that's especially true. It's like the very thing they need to deal with that anxiety and that overwhelm is to rest. But getting there is really hard.
And certainly as we see that for teens, some of those things are going to play over for the college students that you work with now too. But I can, sure. even there, sometimes they don't have the structures in place that maybe they had when they were younger. New independences that they have. How do you see that need for rest and those struggles even play out differently for that transition going into college for your students you work with now?
For sure. It is a lot of those same things. And I think the biggest additional thing is that their time isn't as structured for them. So it, in one sense, feels like they have a lot more time. Like they don't have class from 8 a.m. till 3:30 and then sports practice to here and then youth group or whatever. There's a lot more time in their day. But their lives so far, they haven't been trained for that, really. And so it's easy to maybe waste some of that time and then scramble to fit everything in. Mm-hmm. And it is just a hard thing to learn how to manage that time individually when you don't have as many of those structures and there feels like there is more to do, or there probably is more to do, and feels like they don't really know where to fit it all in. And I think this is also true for youth, but I definitely see it in young adults, that the expectations feel like they're competing with each other too. So I hear it in my students who say, professor thinks this must be the only class I have, right? Because they pile all these things on, but you have, so it's between classes, but then it's also with their academic or with athletics or with their extracurriculars, choir or theater or things like that. And that's happening at the same time in the same place that my friends are hanging out, and I'd rather be over there. That it just feels like they're competing a lot. I think that happens in high school too, but it's especially pronounced as they shift into college.
So in the study, you talk about how rest and Sabbath can be an evangelism tool for some young people. How does honoring Sabbath help young people to shine God's light to other people?
Like we were just talking about, we know the culture of our world, and this is countercultural. And so we talked about some of the challenges that come with that being countercultural. But as I think about all the things about Christianity that kind of rub against culture, I think this is one of, if not one of the only places where it's actually what people want. People want rest. People want to slow down. People want to connect better with others. People want healing and freedom. And so while it is countercultural on a kind of systematic or the big picture area, on an individual basis, people want rest. And so I think that as students live this out, as they practice it, I think it could be a really big place where other students look at them and go, hey, how are you managing this? And you're somehow okay, right? That they're, maybe they are more peaceful because they had some time to rest this weekend and they're not feeling as overwhelmed. Someone's going to look like, how are you not freaking out? You're in the same situation that I'm in. How is this? Well, I actually got to sleep this weekend and didn't stay up all night studying or whatever. That people start asking some questions about where is that coming from. And I think that that could open some really cool doors to point to Jesus. You know, we talk about gospel being good news, right?
Right.
Good news to a teenager today is that you don't have to live in this overwhelm. That is good news to a teenager today. Mm-hmm. And so if you can start with that and then point to the God who really is the reason for the overwhelm or for the lack of overwhelm, right? For the peace that comes in the midst of that. That's a pretty easy jump to make, right? It's because he's in control. It's because I don't have to figure all this out. And this day of Sabbath, these moments of rest are what remind me of that I don't have to control it all. And so then I can live in peace. Mm-hmm. And so then people can maybe ask about that and make those connections.
That's great. And no doubt reflecting that love of God that he's given to us in Christ and that time to rest again and knowing that Christ is with us in all those things and has done the good work for us, that we can live that out and share that with others. What a great opportunity to share our faith. As we wrap up, what encouragement would you give to youth leaders as they are preparing to lead this study with their youth?
First of all, I would just encourage the youth leaders to practice it for themselves, not just for the sake of this study, but having been in youth ministry professionally and as well as serving as a volunteer, it's easy to think that we have to go, and we have to just serve more. And so my first encouragement would just be to find spaces for rest for themselves as leaders. What does that look like for them? So that they can serve well. And so that's just the most important piece, because I think we kind of mentioned it earlier of we sometimes look at rest as selfish or and it kind of butts up in one sense against this other biblical call to serve selflessly, right? To give of ourselves. What I have found is that I can actually do that better from a place of rest. My mind is clearer, my creativity is expanded, that I'm better able to listen to the people in front of me, to the students in front of me, when I have that capacity. And so it's ministry. It's ministry to myself. And so that'd be my first thing, is just for themselves to practice it, but also maybe before they would lead this, to practice it so that they have some understanding of the joys of it, as well as the challenges of rest. If Sabbath rest, those kind of rhythms aren't a part of their life now, to just walk in and expect students to try and pick this up and do it. There's some benefit to doing it alongside, but having some experience with it, even just a week or two beforehand, gives kind of an insight for the leaders as they walk in to know where maybe are the pinch points for them, to kind of be able to relate that mm-hmm. well to their students as they're experiencing it together too.
Well, fantastic. I really hope people take advantage and do the study. And thanks so much for joining us and talking with us a little bit about Sabbath today.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Thanks, Becca.
Well, certainly as I was editing Becca's study, there was some self-reflection that happened on my state of how I recognize Sabbath. Maybe some appropriate conviction in that area.
So for you, this is one of these topics you don't like to discuss?
No, I'm not good at this. It's not my skill set. And I do think, as she hit on this a little bit, there is definitely this cultural piece mm-hmm. of if you're not tired, you're not doing it right.
Right.
If you're not exhausted, if you're not, just really kind of pushing to the edge, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah. I think you and I were talking about this about for a while. There's that discussion about, during COVID, there maybe was some more opportunities to rest because there just wasn't as many things going on or whatever it would be. And it was, a lot of questions about, will we return to the old normal? And boy, those conversations happened for about a week. And then, of course, we're going to be back to just as busy as we were.
Okay.
And so we were right back at it. Didn't seem to really maybe learn some lessons that we even had during those times of the benefit of rest. And so you just see how much the culture, I think, plays that out. I think back to, I don't know how it was, you're a little younger than I am, but I just feel like even kids don't even have a chance to be what we would say bored back in the day, which was really just, I think, opportunity to rest, to let your brain rest, be creative. And then now it's just so easy to be constantly entertained or busy. Mm-hmm. And I think our young people often miss out on that blessing to just rest and be young.
Yeah, where I think that they get brought into this cultural idea that they can do self-care and that somehow and that really can become very selfish or disconnected. Mm-hmm. And maybe it overlaps with Sabbath and rest, but certainly wanting to make sure that the focus that they have on the time that they're resting is, as she said, not necessarily that it's communal, that it's Christ-centered, that it maybe doesn't necessarily look exactly like how maybe our culture would talk mm-hmm. about self-care. Mm-hmm.
I always remember one thing that really made, I think, teaching the third commandment tangible for me too, is I think it's one way to where you can talk about setting priorities too. It's a very obviously day in, day out aspect of what does it mean to put God first in your life, his gifts for us, putting other people first, just becomes again really that way that you're able to dig deep into those conversations and let young people think about that. Where are my priorities at, and how does my gift of time, treasure, whatever it might be, talent, go into those priorities, and how do I display that and reflect God's glory and love through all I do?
And how in all the maybe priorities that I want to have, can I be reminded that it really isn't about me?
Right.
Right. And that I'm not really going to be the one at work. I'm not the one that's going to save the world. That's why we have Jesus. And so just a reminder that all the things that we do will still be there for us after mm-hmm. we rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can focus more and lean into that gospel message. I love that idea mm-hmm. of really this living out that gospel mm-hmm. that it isn't about us.
Mm-hmm.
So a few closing questions for you to consider. First, how are you teaching Sabbath not as a set of things you can't do, but as a gift from God?
How are you investigating the pressures young people feel in their use of time and opportunities to rest?
And finally, how are you practicing and modeling Sabbath in your own life? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you embrace the joy of Sabbath rest and as you encourage young people to take advantage of God's good gifts in Sabbath as well.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find out more about LCMS Youth Ministry or to find links to resources mentioned, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church. We'll be right back.